If you have your scripture, I'm going to ask you to turn with me over to the book of Proverbs. I want to speak to you this morning about wisdom. About wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 through verse 18. I am going to be reading the God's Word translation. I've had others ask me, what is the God's Word translation? It is a modern English translation that's just word for word out of the Greek. It's not a paraphrase, but it is a translation. I enjoy reading it. And the God's Word translation, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13, it says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who obtains understanding. The profit gained from wisdom is greater than the profit gained from silver. Its yield, wisdom's yield, is better than fine gold. Wisdom is more precious than jewels, and get this, and all your desires cannot equal the value of wisdom. Long life is in wisdom's right hand, and in wisdom's left hand are riches and honor. Wisdom's ways are pleasant, and all of its paths lead to peace. Wisdom is a tree of life for those that take a firm hold of it, for those that embrace wisdom. Wisdom is a tree of life. And those that cling to wisdom are blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Bow your heads for just a moment this morning and let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful today for the opportunity to share your word. I'm thankful this morning, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised your name in our songs this morning. We come to the reading of your word and the ministry of your word, and I pray that you would impart unto me divine ability. I ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would put your word in my mind and in my mouth and help me to speak as an instrument of God. Help me to speak as a vessel that you can use for your glory to impart the wisdom from the Word of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that everything that is said and everything that is done will be done to glorify Jesus and edify the body of Christ. And for all of these things, we will give you the praise and give you the thanks. Bless me now. Enable me now to be a blessing. In Christ's name I pray. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title the message this morning, God's Checklist for Wisdom. God's Checklist for Wisdom. I submit to you this morning that according to God's Word and according to the text that we have read here this morning, that wisdom can be and will be a very powerful blessing in our lives. However, I also would like to point out to you that the scripture makes it perfectly clear that if we are going to obtain wisdom, if we are going to walk in wisdom, then we must passionately pursue it. And we must allow it to have a resting place in our hearts. If you are a student of the Bible, you will understand me when I say that it is no secret that the Bible has a great deal to say concerning wisdom and the incredible value that it can bring into our lives. Let me share with you just a few verses this morning. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1 through verse 9. The writer of the book of Proverbs says, hear, children, the instruction of a father, and attend unto knowing knowledge or understanding. For I give you good doctrine. He says, I'm about to give you some really good stuff. I am about to impart unto you some really important information. Forsake not my law, he says. He says, for I was my father's son, tender and beloved in the sight of my mother. Now understand that the writer of the book of Proverbs is King Solomon. And so he is saying, my father was King David, and this is what he taught me. So this, what we are about to read from verse 4 on down through verse 9, are the words of King Solomon the words of King David to his son. He said, he taught me also, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and you will live. He said, get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, don't forsake wisdom. And she, wisdom, shall preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, I urge you to get wisdom. And with all of your getting, get understanding. He goes back to wisdom. He says, exalt her. Exalt her. Give her a prominent place in your life. And she will promote thee. And she will bring thee honor when you embrace her. Amen. She shall give thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver unto you. How much better is it to get wisdom than to get gold? Proverbs 16:16. The writer is telling us that one of the most important things that we can acquire in our life is wisdom. He says, get wisdom, love her and exalt her and keep her, and she will promote you. Get wisdom and she will bring you to honor. Get wisdom and she will be like an ornament upon your head and give you a crown of glory or a crown of honor. He says, get wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. Today, there are many in this world that are chasing after everything but wisdom. There are those who seek after riches or resources to make this life comfortable. There are those that seek to acquire material assets and worldly possessions, and there are those that seek to have power and authority or a prominent place of position, and there are others that seek fame or notoriety. But I want you to understand this morning, amen, and I would submit to you that there are far too few of us that have determined to make wisdom our chief ambition. How many of us here this morning have determined that we will pursue after wisdom? And how many of us here this morning have never really given wisdom a second thought? Hello? The question this morning becomes, what about us? Are we pursuing other things and not pursuing after wisdom? Where does acquiring wisdom rank on our list of priorities? Is it a priority in your life, or have you not really even considered it? I believe, beloved, that if we would give wisdom an opportunity, it would be, amen, a blessing in our life, and it would fill our life with abundance. Amen. If we would seek to acquire and apply the wisdom of God, we must have the ability to assess and to make wise decisions in every area of our life. Can you say amen? Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that you can desire cannot be compared to it. Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Proverbs 3:13-19, happy is the man that finds wisdom, amen, and the man that gets understanding. The merchandise of it is better than silver and better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, amen. Length of days is in her hand, and riches and honor are with her, and all of her ways lead to peace, amen. She is a tree of life. He says, lay hold upon her, amen, and happy is everyone that retains her. Happy is everyone that retains her. Here this morning is the question that I feel like the Holy Spirit would have us to examine this morning. The Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart about this message about Monday or Tuesday afternoon of this week. And this is what I feel like the Holy Spirit would like to have us to contemplate. Are we striving for wisdom? Are we walking in godly wisdom? Ask yourself that question this morning. Are you striving to acquire, or are you walking in godly wisdom? Well, Pastor Gary, I'm not sure if I am or not. How can I be confident that I am? How can I know that I tried to make wise decisions, I tried to make wise assessments, but I'm not sure if I'm walking in the wisdom of God or not? If only there were a checklist that we could go down the checklist and mark off to find out, so we could compare ourselves with the checklist and find out whether or not we are walking in godly wisdom. If only there were some sort of a checklist. Oh, wait a minute. There is one. And it comes to us right out of God's Word. It comes to us right out of the Word of God. Turn with me this morning to James chapter 3 and verse 17. James chapter 3 and verse 17. I'm talking about godly wisdom. The blessing that it can bring into our life. How do we know whether or not we are walking in wisdom? Let's read the checklist that the Holy Spirit gave to James in James chapter 3. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now let's ask ourselves, after reading God's checklist, are we walking in wisdom? Are we walking, well, let's look at it. Are we pure and peaceable? Are we gentle and open to reason? Are we full of mercy and full of good fruits? Are we impartial and are we sincere? I hope we don't just read over that list this morning and just skim over the list, but I pray that we will really stop and consider what God is saying to us. Because God just told us what wisdom looks like. He just told us how wisdom behaves itself. He just told us how wisdom conducts everyday business. He told us what walking in godly wisdom looks like. He says, those that are walking in the wisdom of God and those that are walking in the wisdom that is from above, they are going to be pure and they are going to be peaceful. They are going to be gentle and they are going to be open to reason. They are going to be full of mercy and they are going to be full of good fruit. They are going to be impartial and they are going to be sincere. He's saying that's what godly wisdom looks like. He's saying if you encounter an individual that has those attributes in their life, then know that they are walking in godly wisdom. They are walking in godly wisdom. Let me give you three significant points, and then I want to look at each one of these things that he puts on his checklist. The first point that I want to give you this morning is the source of true wisdom comes from God. The Bible said that the reverence or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you begin to reverence God and place God number one in your life, that is the beginning of wisdom, because true wisdom comes from God. The Bible said that the wisdom of men is foolishness with God. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So godly wisdom or true wisdom comes from the Almighty. There are many today that profess to be wise in themselves, and they're willing to give you their advice, and they are willing to give you their counsel. Just stop and think about it for a moment and consider all of the columns that are advice columns that are found in the newspapers and the magazines, and consider all of the self-help books that are being written and line the shelves of the library and Barnes and Noble. Consider the so-called wise and those with understanding that saturate daytime television, giving their opinions about everything and anything. You hear what I'm saying? There are many that will try to impart unto you their wisdom, but understand that true wisdom starts with God. True wisdom comes from the Lord. Secondly, the wisdom that comes from above is said to be eight things. It manifests itself in eight different ways. And thirdly, the effect of true wisdom will produce the fruit of righteousness or right living. Wisdom will produce the fruit of right living. That's verse 18. All right, let's take a closer look at these different things on the checklist. He says, first, the first thing that he tells us is that wisdom walks in purity. Wisdom walks in purity. The word carries with it the idea of being genuine, being authentic, and being faithful. It means to be free from any form of pride, jealousy, selfishness, prejudice, anger, or uncleanness. It means that we follow after God with an unmixed and undiluted motive in our life. It means that we are 100% genuine, real, authentic, and pure. Amen. Does that mean that we don't make mistakes? No, don't misunderstand me. We all make mistakes. We all fail at times. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying this morning is those that have wisdom from God recognize their mistakes, and they get up, put it under the blood, and continue walking forward with God. Walking in wisdom that comes from above means that we have a desire to promote and to value purity of the heart. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8? He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 said, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 said, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love for the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. He's talking about our heart being pure, undiluted, undefiled, genuine, real. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Real wisdom begins with a desire, amen, to please God. Real wisdom begins with a desire to, amen, to receive the word of God and to accept what God has to say and walk in his precept. Wisdom begins with a purity of heart, making him the Lord of our life. If you this morning desire to walk in wisdom, then I submit to you that we need to be walking with a pure heart. Check that on your list this morning. The second thing that he says is that godly wisdom is peaceable. Godly wisdom is peaceable. True wisdom cherishes peace. True wisdom is peaceable. The word means to bind together or to join together. It means that a wise individual is bound and woven and joined together with God and with their fellow man. They love the Lord thy God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their might. And they love their neighbor as themselves. Hear what I'm saying this morning. The writer tells us here in our text, he says, her ways are ways of pleasantness. Wisdom's ways are ways of pleasantness. And the last part of that verse, and all of her paths lead to peace. The wisdom that comes from above desires to be at peace. The wisdom that comes from above desires to avoid fractions and dissensions. The wisdom that comes from God desires to promote and encourage a spirit of peace. How many of you know our human nature is to be contentious and divisive? Hello? Just me? Our human nature is, you want a piece of me? Wisdom promotes and encourages peace because the ways of godly wisdom are peaceful. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, he said, as much as it lieth within you, live at peace with all men. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow peace with all men. What is he saying? He's saying that godly wisdom will walk in a peaceful manner. If you are not walking in peace and not walking in a peaceful way with others around you, then you need to check yourself because that is not wisdom. Wisdom walks in peace. A wise individual will do all that they can to keep the bond of peace and to make peace when the bond of peace has been broken. A wise individual will try to reconcile, amen, others to God and others to one another because wisdom loves peace. If we want to walk in the wisdom of God, then we must walk in purity, and we must walk in peace. Number three, I got eight of these, so I'm hurrying. Number three, the third thing that he tells us is that godly wisdom is gentle. Godly wisdom is gentle. The wisdom of God, or the wisdom that comes from God, is gentle. The word translated from the Greek means gentleness, tenderness, forbearance, considerate, temperate. What James is saying is if we are going to walk in wisdom, then we must walk in a gentle and gracious manner with others. If we are going to walk in the wisdom of God, then we must walk in a nature or an attribute, amen, or an attitude of gentleness and graciousness unto them. We are to be an example of grace, and we are to be an example of gentleness. We need to be forbearing and loving with one another and those that are around us. It's easy to criticize and critique and point out everybody's problems and everybody's situation. That is our human nature. We are quick to criticize and we are quick to condemn and we are quick, amen, to critique their walk and we are quick. But let me just tell you, the Bible says that wisdom walks in a gentle manner. In gentleness, listen to what the Bible says, Ephesians 4, 2. Be humble and gentle in every way. Be patient with each other, loving and accept each other. Colossians 3 and verse 13, this is the way Colossians 3 says it. It says, put up with one another. I could hold up and preach right there for a little bit. Put up with one another. Forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint against someone else, forgive them, even as the Lord has forgiven you. How many of you have messed up? What he's saying is, amen, if you want to be forgiven, then forgive others the way the Lord has forgiven you. I want to be forgiven, therefore I determine I will be forgiving. You hear what I'm saying this morning? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive. That word strive means that you must not bicker, argue, and be at one another's throats. He said, the servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? Then you must not strive, but be gentle toward all men. If you desire to walk in wisdom this morning, then we must have the attribute of gentleness in our life. We must have a kind and gentle spirit. We must have a kind and gentle spirit toward others. Number four, the fourth thing that he tells us is that godly wisdom is reasonable. It is easy to be entreated. It's easy to be entreated. It literally means that it's an individual that's reasonable, that's teachable. That's teachable. Wisdom is easily entreated. The word means, amen, to be willing to listen to reason and to be willing to change when we discover that we are wrong. Wisdom is not stubborn or pig-headed. I've seen this situation work both ways. I've had spiritual discussions with individuals and individuals that I've met that have held a particular point of view most of their life. And when they discovered through teaching or through their own study of the scripture that their view was inconsistent with God's word, they wisely changed their mind. That's wisdom. Think about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He has a letter in his pocket so that he could persecute the church. And he thinks he's doing God a favor. He is trying to squelch this church thing, this new church thing, this Jesus thing. And he has an encounter on the Damascus Road that, amen, turns his life around and turns him upside down. And he was so changed that he not only put all that stuff in the past, but he became a preacher of the gospel. On the other hand, I've dealt with some folks that when you point out what the Scripture has to say, it doesn't matter what the Scripture has to say. They cling to their own beliefs and their own opinions regardless of what the Word of God teaches. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is teachable. Wisdom is reasonable. Wisdom is easily entreated. A person with wisdom from above doesn't have to win every argument. An individual with wisdom from above doesn't have to have the last word. Hello? If we want to walk in wisdom, then we must be easily entreated. We must be teachable. Proverbs 12 and 15 said, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Hello? But, he says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you for it. He that hearkens unto counsel is wise. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet the wiser for it. What he's saying is when you instruct a wise man is teachable and he receives that and he changes things in his life that needs to be changed. So if we want to walk in godly wisdom, we need to be pure and peaceable, gentle and reasonable or easily entreated. Number five, the fifth thing that he says, that godly wisdom is full of mercy. Full of mercy. The word means to have compassion, affection, or kindness to those who are in need. The Greek definition of the word literally means kindness or goodness toward those who are miserable and afflicted. Joined together with the desire to relieve them. Jesus is the epitome of mercy. Is he not? He had mercy upon the sinners. He had mercy upon the sick. He had mercy upon the emotionally distressed. He had mercy upon the hunger. He had mercy upon the lonely. He had mercy upon those who were vulnerable. He is the epitome of mercy, and he is the one that says to us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. He's saying, if you give mercy, you will receive mercy. Luke 6 and 36, he says, be ye therefore merciful, because your Father in heaven is merciful. He desires for us to walk in mercy. Wisdom walks in the mercy of God. The sixth thing that he tells us is that wisdom is full of good fruits. Good fruits. What does he mean, good fruits? Good deeds, good actions. Good deeds or good actions. It means that the individual that is walking in wisdom actually reaches out and has actions behind their words. A wise man walking in the wisdom of God is willing to act. In order to change someone's life, he acts, he meets needs, he helps the suffering, he shuts, he ministers to the shut-in and the prisoner and the widow and the orphan and the single parent and the single child of a parent and the poor and the grieving and the destitute and the homeless and the hungry and on and on and on I could go. When we see a need, good works or good fruits, if we are walking in the wisdom of God, then good actions should follow our words. Another word, let me put it in modern day English. Another word, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Hello? Don't just say the right thing, do the right thing. An individual that's walking in wisdom is full of good fruit. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. That literally could say, show yourself a pattern of good fruit. Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider one another and provoke one another or encourage one another unto love and unto good works, good deeds, good fruit. I encourage you to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. I encourage you, amen, to do, not just say. Be fruitful. Be full of good fruits. Check it off of your wisdom list this morning. If you want to walk in wisdom, then act like a son or a daughter of God. He is our example. Let's follow him. The seventh thing that he tells us is that godly wisdom is unwavering and impartial. He says in verse 17, without partiality, without partiality. True wisdom is unwavering and without partiality. The word that is translated in our Bible, in our English Bible, translated from the Greek word literally has two meanings. The first meaning means unwavering. What he is saying is, don't be wavering. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be in one day and out the next. Don't be in one week and out the next. Be faithful. Don't waver. The wise individual does not waver in their judgments. They do not vacillate. They are steady as she goes. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. The second meaning is impartial. In our English word, it literally means to be impartial. Those with godly wisdom will treat everyone the same, with love and with kindness. But I don't agree with them. Big deal. You don't have to agree with everybody about everything. But you do need to treat them with love and respect. And without partiality, regardless of their economic status, regardless of their social standing, regardless of their occupation or their education, regardless of their intelligence or their appearance, regardless of the color of the skin or the language that they speak, treat everybody with love and respect. And this is what the Bible says about that in James chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. He says, if you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. That's good. But, he says in verse 9, James 2, verse 9, but if you have respect to persons, if you are impartial, or if you are partial toward people. He said, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. And you are convinced of the law as a transgressor. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, I charge thee, Paul writes to Timothy, I charge thee before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ and the angels who are elect, that thou observe these things without preferring one another and do nothing by partiality. If you have a rich man that comes into your presence, don't treat them one way and treat the janitor another way. Treat everybody with love and with kindness, including the preacher. Hello? That's walking in wisdom, being impartial, walking in wisdom. And let me just tell you, wisdom, well, it's more precious than jewels. It's more valuable than gold. It'll bring long life and riches and honor and a crown of glory and all of these wonderful things. Amen. It'll be a tree of life, but we have to pursue it and we have to walk in it. The eighth thing, and I'm going to hurry. I got 5 minutes. The eighth thing that he tells us, that wisdom is without hypocrisy. Wisdom is without hypocrisy. A person who possesses wisdom from above is sincere in all things. A person that is walking in wisdom is sincere in all things. I've said this before, and I think it is worth repeating, that sometimes the greatest enemy to the body of Christ is the behavior and the attitudes of the members of the body of Christ. Hello? The greatest enemy sometimes to our work and to our effort is our own actions. It's sad, but it's true. But every time an unbeliever sees a Christian claiming to believe one thing and living the opposite, it is a wonder that they fail to see the necessity of Christ in their life. Why should they submit to the authority of a God they cannot see and a Bible they do not understand, when they can follow the example that is set by many in the churches today, and that example tells them that they do not need Christ in their life and they do not need to change? Let us be an example of godliness. Let us be an example of sincerity. I'm not saying that you won't make mistakes. I'm not saying that you won't get tripped up and fall. I'm saying that, thank God, there's a fountain that flows from Emmanuel's veins, and he's able to wash away all of that sin and give you a fresh start. Amen. Pastor Gary, you ever made mistakes? Oh, yeah, I have. You follow me long enough, you'll find out that I am just flesh and blood, and I've made plenty of mistakes. But keep following me, and you'll find me making a place of an old-fashioned altar and asking Christ, he meant to forgive me and come into my heart and give me a new start. Amen. Be an example of sincerity. Be an example. Don't be a hypocrite. Sometimes the biggest Pharisee that we see is the one in the mirror that looks back at me. Hello? Don't be that. Are you, let me just ask you this morning, are you walking in the wisdom of God? Are you pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, easy to entreat, full of mercy, full of good fruits, unwavering and impartial and without hypocrisy? Or are there some areas in your life that you couldn't check off of the list? It's not my checklist, by the way. Because if it were my checklist, I'd have left some of that stuff off. Hello? But here's the conclusion this morning. If we find that we are not walking in godly wisdom, here's some good news for you. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that gives to men liberally and upbraideth not. That word upbraideth not mean that God will give it to you without resentment and without rebuke. If you lack wisdom, he's saying, God is willing to give it to you liberally. He's willing to give you wisdom liberally, but it starts with reverencing God. It starts with knowing the Lord, because true godly wisdom can only come from the Lord. The wisdom of this world is not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the wisdom from the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the wisdom that comes from above. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it to you liberally. And he upbraideth not. He says, and it shall be given to him. In other words, when you ask, it will be given to you. If we ask, he will give it to us liberally. Now, I want to tell you this morning, this message, when the Holy Spirit began to lay it upon my heart, I feel like that the Lord is wanting to challenge us to examine ourselves, examine our character, our attitudes, our deeds, to look at the Word of God and say, am I walking in godly wisdom? If I'm not receiving in my life all of the things that he tells us wisdom will bring, if I'm not enjoying those things in my life, maybe it is because I am not following his checklist. When you put the sermon on the internet today, you can just, you know, hashtag it, you know, hashtag God's checklist. I'm asking you this morning, are you fulfilling God's checklist? If not, ask. Ask. If not, then come to him and ask. And he's willing to give it liberally without resentment or without rebuke. Bow your heads, please, all over the building, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your anointing, for the privilege of preaching your word. Father, I pray this morning that if we find ourselves unable to mark some of these eight characteristics of wisdom, if we're unable to mark them in our life, then I would just ask you this morning to help us to understand that if we come to you and with a heart of sincerity and a heart of purity, just cry out to you and ask you to give us godly wisdom, to help us to walk in godly wisdom, that we may enjoy the benefits that wisdom is capable of bringing into our life. Speak to our hearts this morning, I pray, O Lord. Help us this morning to walk out of this building changed because we have asked and because you have imparted wisdom to our life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you were unable to mark some of the things on God's checklist in your life. Would you be willing to slip up your hand and say, Lord, that's me. Yes, there are hands going up all over the building here this morning. Lord, there were some things I couldn't mark off of the list, and I know it's your word. So help me to walk in purity and peace, gentleness. Help me, I pray, Heavenly Father. Help me to be unwavering and steadfast. Help me, I pray, Lord, to walk in wisdom's ways. Stand to your feet, if you will. Hands have been lifted all over the building. Let me pray with you, and then they're going to come and sing. Father, you saw every hand that was lifted here this morning. We acknowledge before you that we lack in wisdom. And we ask you to give unto us the wisdom from above that walks peaceably in purity, in gentleness. Help us here this morning, Lord, to be submitted to biblical reason. Let us be easy to entreat, and we've heard your word, and now let us comply. And when we leave this place this morning, I pray, oh God, that we will leave with a liberal dose of the wisdom of God implanted in our hearts. I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Come and sing, come and sing.